Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 443. That's a lot of yapping. Oh my goodness gracious. And I'm just so excited to have the podcast, Her, where you're going to hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her couple's friends. What? What is she talking about? Oh, she's going off into a strange place again, that Dr. Peek. Oh no, you're gonna love this in more ways than you'll ever know. Before we begin this awesome episode, just know that this episode is made possible by our sponsors, Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins. I know, you try to get in all your greens and the five colors and things like that, and then the day starts, and then nothing goes right. So we have your back, and we fill in those little gaps, and one of the most important things of all is just your multiple vitamin, for crying out loud. So please run on over to solaray.com and find out about women's multiple vitamins. Yep, we're different. It's just one of those things. We're different and we're the best, and you know that. Solaray.com. And here's your first reminder to click onto iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show, because the entire team just sits here waiting to hear from you. That's what we do every single day. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life.
It's all about her.
So, I'm going to be moving in a little bit to another state with my family. This is so exciting. And I'm really very much looking forward. And then I stumbled across this fabulous column written by our wonderful Elizabeth Bernstein of the Wall Street Journal, all about here's how to make friends with another couple. And then, and why that's so important for your own relationship. All right, you got me at why it's so important for your own relationship. Good grief almighty. So as you all know, because Elizabeth has been on her podcast so many times, she's been at the Wall Street Journal for more than 20 years, or does it just feel like that? And has previously covered higher education, philanthropy, psychology, and religion at the paper. All areas in which personal relationships loom large. And one of the things we all love about you more than anything else is the fact that you know people and you speak to people from a very practical and wonderful level. And that's why you're here again, Elizabeth. Welcome to the Her Podcast.
Thank you for that windup, and thank you, the intro. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. So I read this fabulous article. I was just like eating it alive, going, what else? What else? Because one of the things I love about what you do, Elizabeth, is you meld science with practicality, and you're able to glean the tips, tools, and techniques that we all need to be able to utilize on a daily basis and, you know, experiment with and discover what works best for us. The first thing I want to ask is what I always do, and that is, why'd you write this?
Because I'm always writing about something quite often that I'm trying to figure out in my own life. So I have a partner and we live together and we wanted to have more couple friends, but it isn't easy. It's not easy when you're an adult to make friends to begin with, even for someone like us who talks. And my dad used to tease me, you could talk to a tree. So, you know, I don't have trouble connecting with people, but it's very hard to make friends when you're an adult. And then it's very hard when you have to do it with your partner, because it's like dating in a way, but you have to click your ways. And that's the hard part.
Yep. It's interesting. People also say it depends upon your age too. When you're like 20 or something, it's like whatever. And you have a boyfriend, or and you can kind of fake it until you make it. But what happens when you're like 50? It gets a little murkier, because people are kind of glued into where they are. and yet they want to expand their horizons with friends. But how do you do that? I mean, what goes on here? Now, before we jump into that, why is this so important for your own relationship? Let's just say for you and your partner, why is this so important to be able to pay attention to making friends with another couple?
This is the part that I thought was fascinating. And you mentioned that I like to look at science, and I do. The research, so actual PhDs, there are smart people who study relationships, not just internet TikTok influencers, but the actual academics who study relationships have looked at this, and they show that couples who have more couple friends are happier in their own relationships and have longer lasting relationships. And so that shows how powerful having a network of other couples or even another couple that you're friends with is for yourself and your partnership. And they think it's these things like, look, when you're in your 50s or at any age, when we're older, we're out of school, and these are long-term relationships many of us have with our partners. But look, we know them pretty well. We've heard their stories. We're sitting around with them. And it can be, yeah, it can be wonderful, of course, to have that partnership, but it can be a little boring. So sometimes when you have another couple, so you're out together. One thing is you're out together. So you're enjoying social life with your partner. You're out together. But then also when you see other people enjoying your partner, laughing at the partner's jokes, you know, listening to the stories you've heard a million times, and you see that those people are interested, you look at your partner a different way. Like, oh, well, he is, she is interesting. Like, you know, so you start to see your partner in that light that you used to years ago. That's why you're together. And so it brings like a freshness. And then those people, the other couple, hopefully is interesting and talking about things. And then that gives you something to talk about. So it really infuses light and energy and interest into your relationship. Again, it's tricky. You don't want, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, but when it works, it's great.
I think some of the funniest times I've ever had with my husband are when we have like a total dud couple, when it just is like, oh my God, what time is it? Can we leave? Is there any emergency we can concoct to get out of here? And you're just like, oh my, can these people get any more boring or awkward or strange or whatever the issue may be? The way I look at it is it's all an adventure. We're kind of like little adventurers out there in couple land, and we're trying to figure this out. The other thing I was thinking about when you were talking, Elizabeth, was that sometimes you take certain things for granted in your partner over time, only to find out it's a real jewel in the eyes of other people. And you're like, oh, I got to remember, he's got a fabulous sense of humor, or his wit is amazing, or he's got pretty cool sarcasm when he needs it, that kind of a thing. I just absolutely love this. All right. So let's get into this a little bit. Oh my gosh, you have so many great stories in this blog. Your column is amazing. So let's start with Richard Slatcher, a psychology professor at the University of Georgia. What did he say?
He says that couple friends, having other couple friends can really make you appreciate your partner more. That's exactly, you know, what we're talking about. But he's one of the people who does research this. And so that's what he's looking at. He said, you know, when you see other people looking at your partner, enjoying the company or listening to his advice or her advice, you then is just as you're saying, you really see your partner again, things that you might have forgotten about.
Very nice. I love that. So finally, you walk away and you say, you know, really, at the end of the day, my partner's pretty great, right? So that's a good thing. And the other thing that happens too is, do you think people get more or less inhibited as they get older? Is that something that really kind of counts in this whole thing? Like, are you more willing to kind of put it out there?
Think about when you're a kid, I've watched like my young nieces, when my niece and nephews were young, they'd go up to somebody, say in the park, hey, how old are you? 6? Me too. Let's play. You just go up to anybody. Kids have no inhibition, most children. And so here we are, and we're set in our ways, and we also have stress in our lives, and it's hard to make time. There's so many reasons. When we're young, we're in school, we have so many people to pull from. It's like a huge pool of other classmates that could be your friends. Or when you're young and you're in your 20s and you're single, you just have all these friends you're always going out with. And as we get older, the world gets more narrow. We spend more of our time on our family and we are much more inhibited.
Interesting. Is there a gender specificity about this? What's up with men and what's up with women as we're looking at making friends here?
Research shows that men do want and need friends, is same as women, but women are better at it. We've been socialized as women to put a huge emphasis on friendship and on socializing and on helping each other. And men have been socialized to take care of their families and provide. And it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. It's how they're raised. And so they also, male friendships are different. They do things. They golf or they watch a game or they do things side by side. They say male friendships are side by side. Women are face to face and we talk. And so that talking, and we get very adept at that talking from being little girls on, that's what makes us very good, better at probably forging the friendships. Many men rely on their wives to be their social director, really.
I ask that because honestly, who's sort of setting up the couple stuff anyway? 9 out of 10, I'll put some money on it that it's kind of the woman. I mean, it could be a guy who discovered someone at playing pickleball or something. And, you know, he said, hey, come on over, let's grill something. And we could start it off that way. But my general gut feeling is it's the woman who's really working behind the scenes, right?
I think so. I think generally. I think there are some personality differences. There are some women who are extremely introverted or they're very shy. And so if they have an outgoing husband then or partner, maybe he is the one out there bringing the friendships in. But in general, women are making the friends and being the social, again, sort of director of the relationship.
So I was fascinated when in your column, first of all, I have to laugh about when you said this. While they're still looking for friends near their home, they have a backup plan, begging their bestie couple friends from back home to move closer. And in this case, so far, no luck. Well, as it turns out, with our move, we were actually turned on to the specific geographic area by bestie friends who now live there. And so we'll be joining a bestie friend situation. So we just lucked out. Luck of the draw on that one for sure.
Well, they begged you to come down, clearly.
No, they were like, come on down, please. So you also said psychologists say there are ways to develop couple friendships more quickly. Ooh, all right. Got me at that. Researchers have come up with a set of 31 questions that in a lab have helped couples become closer in under an hour. So what is that?
It's really interesting. I've been fascinated by this research for many years. So relationship researchers, originally looked for a series of questions. At that time, I think it was 36 questions. They wanted to be able to make friends in a lab quickly to study friendships because you can't always get two people who are already friends in your lab to study. So they created these 36 questions for friends, and then they have since adapted them to couple friends. And now it's 31 questions, a questionnaire, and they know if they can take four people, two couples who do not know each other, the two couples are strangers, and they can bring them in a lab through this series of 31 questions, which start out, this is key, they start out pretty not very intimate. They start out pretty simple and on the surface, but they gradually become a little bit more intimate. If they have each person, all four, they go around and answer each question and move to the next one and the next one, they feel a bond and a strong bond by the time they've moved through these 31 questions. It's called Fast Friends for Couples. It's fascinating.
I think that that's fascinating. So you said the questions start out slightly personal. Would you like to become famous? And then in what way, based upon their answer, what would constitute a perfect day for you? I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what would I say? And then how do you feel about your relationship with your mother? Oh, we're treading on funky territory here. And of all the people in your family, whose death would you find most disturbing? This is heavy stuff.
This is heavy stuff. And you really start to think about your own answers. And you can see how in going through this, you really start to open up yourself. That's part of it. And then you're opening up to the other people and they're opening up to you. And that's exactly where the bonding comes in that gradual disclosure. Now, if you started the whole little process with how do you feel about your mom, they're just going to think you're a freak and you're done. Like, that's it. That's the end of the friendship. But that's very far along in this list of questions. And so by then, you're comfortable with each other if it's working right. And, you know, so it's fascinating.
You know, your column is exquisitely timely. I almost think there's a conspiracy behind this. Because at the same time your column came out, the docuseries Secrets of the Blue Zones came out with our pal Buettner again, back for more. And this is something that's on Netflix. So one of the most powerful messages, it didn't matter if it was Sardinia or Okinawa or Loma Linda or, you know, any one of the blue zones, that you need to have connection. You absolutely have to have connection. And it doesn't matter who it is. Connect with friends, the guy across the street, the person next to. Nobody cares. You need connection. Clearly, family, if you're lucky enough to still have everything going there. But the friends, and when you're looking at how these people celebrate together as couples and as four generations together and the whole thing, wow, what a message. And of course, you look at our society today and you see so much isolation and loneliness and all the rest of it. So that's one of the reasons why I thought, again, your column was so timely, kind of driving home that you really need to work this. I think a big mistake a lot of people make, correct me if I'm wrong, is they sort of sit back and wait for something to happen. Same thing as if you were trying to find a partner in life, just sit there on a couch at home, like, tell me how that went. You got to work the system, work it. People are out there. So that's why I just loved the timeliness and I wanted to get this message out there. So you've got some advice to help people find the right couple friends. Let's dig into that. The first thing you said was confer with your partner.
You want to talk to your partner first. So you want to make sure that your partner's on board here. And do you want couple friends as well? Probably your partner does. But also you want to know what kind. Do we want friends because we really want to play doubles tennis or pickleball together and we just, you know, are sick of just being paired up randomly? Or do we really want friends to go on vacation with, to sort of grow older with? Are we looking for something deeper, some real support in our life? And so you want to talk to your partner. What is this okay? And what do you want? And then how are we going to do this? So you want to be on the same page because the whole goal is to improve your relationship in your life, not starting problems with your partner.
Okay. So please check in with your partner. It's just like before you start the adventure, because after all, it's both of you together. So the second piece of advice you said was put yourself out there. What do you mean?
Exactly. And this goes to exactly what you're saying. If you're looking for a partner to begin with, you're looking, you know, for a life partner, you don't just sit on the couch and really just scrolling the apps is not going to do it either. You need to go out there. So there are plenty of people in the world, in your community that out there to meet. And certainly at least one couple of them might be a great fit. And so you need to go out there. You need to join a club. You can volunteer is always a great way. That's how I met my partner, like volunteer. So you want to put yourself out there the same way. And when you're looking for people, if you've got this goal, you can't be shy.
Okay. So there's none of this shy thing. The other thing that was also mentioned in the put yourself out there was food always helps build relationships. So it's come on down for dinner. I mean, what's the worst that can happen, right? Well, there are some funky things. However, that being said, it looked promising and now you're kind of solidifying it by offering hospitality and you can kind of see how everyone interacts in a more casual situation. So I love that. Now, the next piece of advice is ask questions and share.
This is great I think many of us forget, like, so many people like to talk about themselves, right? So they meet people and they're off. If someone asks about them, they're off to the races. That's great if someone asked about you. But you have to remember to reciprocate. You want to try to draw those people out. We all like to talk about ourselves. So you want them to enjoy talking about themselves too. So there should be a back and forth. And research shows that, like, when couples discuss things and discuss things that are beyond just a surface level small talk, they bond better. So that's how you want to really get to know each other.
But you also cautioned that you want to start with light stuff and just sort of see how that goes, sort of like a little taste testing, and not just like launch into a lot of heavy emotional stuff. Then it's like, whoa, a tsunami of emotion. I don't need this today, kind of a thing. So it's a little taking strategic steps forward, I think, is really what you're emphasizing. And then your next piece of advice is carry your part of the conversation.
I think this is specifically written for many of us who have silent partners. We're strong silent types. But, you know, look, many men let women do a lot of the talking. And again, this is a personality-driven thing. Or maybe there are husbands who feel their wives are quiet. But you need you and your partner to be sort of talking. One of you cannot just sit there silently, because it is disconcerting. The other couple's wondering, like, what is that person thinking? Are they judging? You may just be shy, but it never comes across as judgy and boring or snooty, all these other things that you may not be. So you want to carry your part of the conversation, but at the same time, you do not want to dominate the conversation. So it's like a dance.
Yeah. And this is also when you're learning even more about your partner. Like, okay, who really wants to grab the limelight here and make this into a one-sided play, which is always doomed, needless to say. And it's an important time to be able to really share. Now, one of the things I've always found fascinating, I'm dying to know what you think, Elizabeth, is when you have two professional couples, let's say that the woman from one couple and the guy from the other share the same profession. Let's say they're both lawyers, or they're both hedge fund people, or they're both whatever. So now you have the woman from one couple, the male and the other couple talking, leaving now the female and the male here, you know, kind of like, what do I do? I'm thinking of all these dynamics because I've lived them, and I'm sure you have too. You know, when there's I'm a physician clearly. And so when there's another physician in the next couple, you know, one of the things we have to fight is the inclination to devolve into war stories. You know, it's like, oh my God, you know, and back and forth. So how do you work around things like this?
It's a tough one you're identifying, because it's fun to meet and to bond with somebody who shares your profession, and especially if you share the same energy. You know, if one of you is just complaining and the other one is like, oh, I like my profession. But if you start talking, it's interesting, it can be great, but you do have to sort of remain aware when you're in this four-way dynamic of the other two people who may be cut out of a conversation, and find a way to bring them in. I have experienced this too, because if you get two reporters in a room, they're just going to dominate. They can talk till the cows come home, and, you know, and my partner's not a journalist. And so then you're going to have two quieter people just by having two. If you've got two other people who are not journalists, you've got two quieter people. I think you have to dial it back, and you have to work. If you're adept at talking to, you have to work and bringing in your partner. I sometimes like throw them the ball, like, hey, you lived there, right? Oh, you're from Seattle. So you have to throw them the ball so that if they're not as adept as getting into the conversation, you've drawn them in.
You know, it's an interesting thing looking at people's backgrounds. So one of the things I've become adept at after a gazillion years of dealing with this is I'm a doctor. You know what'll happen is, like, before you know it, what do you think of the pandemic, Dr. Peak? And what do you think about blah, blah, and back and forth? Like, whoa, excuse me. So what I've learned how to do is I just go Star Trek on everyone. I just throw up warp shields. I'm like, whoosh, you know, up the, please, it's a Jean-Luc Picard moment. You know, up go the warp shield. I just turn it around completely, going, oh, you know, that's just something. There's quite a bit written about that. Hey, you know, something that you said the other day was just amazing. And then whoosh, turn it completely around. Otherwise, you end up sitting there literally going through an interview. It's like enough already. And plus, you're tired and it's at the end of the day, maybe it's dinner. And the last thing you want to do is work.
You don't want to be giving advice. Oh, my knee hurts. Well, I'm not here to fix your knee. Like, so you don't want to do that. But that's a perfect pivot. Like, yes, that's an interesting point you make and another interesting point, and whoosh, you're off to a completely 90-degree turn into something else. It's perfect.
Are you cool when someone says, oh my God, you work for the Wall Street Journal? What's it like? Are you good with that? Is that something that you could just like fly with?
It depends on what vibe I'm getting. If I'm getting the, you know, all reporters are stupid and the mainstream media are, you know, what's wrong with the world? No, you know? And so then I can pivot to you. That's great. Oh my gosh, do you have your dog? Like, you know, did you say you had a dog? I do too. But if they're genuinely interested, yes. But again, you have to be careful because I don't want to leave my partner in the dust. You know, I don't want to start now. They're really interested in my job and I've left him. He's sitting there now, bored as hell. He's heard about my job every night. So the point is we're out, right? We all want to have a conversation together that's working.
The more I think about it, and I'm really keeping my mind open myself because I'm living through this, you know, soon I'll be moving and everything. And that is finding out about sort of clubs, groups, communities where we share like-minded interests. So my husband and I are both athletes, and so that's like a no-brainer. So we'll do that whole gig. And so we cycle and swim and play pickleball and all that craziness. So there's got to be someone out there who loves us. I'm just saying. Just, oh God, she feels so hopeless. And the other thing too is, I wanted to throw this up to you because this was curious. Intergenerational? I mean, does it have to be your age or, you know, something like that?
I don't think so at all. I think it's great intergenerational because you can, as long as everybody sort of is okay with that and, you know, you don't want to just talk about the music or, you know, your particular era that you grew up out of. But it can be fantastic. So for example, my partner and I are sailors and we belong to the sailing club and we have a boat and we have all sorts of couples that we meet, couples that are older than us by 20 years and have so much more experience. So we feel like we have some experience, but when we need to know what to do in a hurricane, we certainly are asking our friends with more experience. I think it's great. I think that they can be wonderful, especially if they're built around those kind of relationships, around a sport or an activity that you like, something that brings you all together.
Yeah, because it does. I was watching someone play bocce ball. I've never played it, and I played it actually very poorly. However, that being said, I met some really cool people.
Right.
And it's just because they're there to help and guide. And, you know, as I kind of engage in what I love to call MSU, make stuff up, as you go along, since I've never had any formal guidance. But you know what it is? The world is your oyster. Just go on out there, put it out. And if you're afraid or, oh my God, and what do I look like? And how am I coming off? Oh, stop it already. Just go out there, be authentic, be genuine, be yourself. And you're going to be able to find a fit somewhere along the line, but just be persistent and persevering because things don't just fall into your lap here. You got to work it here.
You want to have an open mind. And when you're talking about, again, I was just thinking as you're talking about the age difference, more recently this year, one of my closer friends at work is someone much younger than me, a very young reporter. And I wouldn't have thought that we would start to click. But then I realized now, like, she sort of wants some mentoring and some understanding of this is all normal, like, work kind of stuff. But also, she helps me because I'm not that old, but she can say, wait, did you see this on TikTok? That fits in exactly to what you're writing. What? Like, what's TikTok?
So, I know, really, seriously.
So it works out well. Like, and it works out, I think, in part because we share a personality.
I love it. I commend you. I mean, seriously, Elizabeth, first of all, it was written beautifully, but it was so spot on. I really encourage everyone out there on the Her podcast land to read the column and, you know, to kind of get a refresher on what Elizabeth Bernstein has noted, and that's the name of the column is Make Friends with Another Couple, Your Relationship May Depend Upon It. That's cool. I absolutely love it. You know, Elizabeth, once again, you've imparted such great wisdom for all of us. And this is why I just love having you back again and again and again, because it's so relevant to where we are today. And people need help. And even a few words of guidance really could make a big difference in someone's life. So I got to thank you for it. And on behalf of the Her podcast audience, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Elizabeth, you're the best. Okay, everyone out there, this has been a fabulous episode, needless to say. So hit iTunes right now, rate and review the show because we want to hear from you. Another major shout out to our sponsor, Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y Vitamins. And please take your multiple vitamin every day. Only your doctor, and I'm telling you. You need to fill in all those little gaps, and you know what I'm talking about. So run on over to solaray.com to learn more. Oh, this has been such a great episode. Oh, what a joy it is to host the Her podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peek. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter and Instagram at Pam Peek MD. Remember to catch every single episode of the Her podcast on iTunes, Radio MD, Spotify. I'm all over the place. iHeart. It's just all the platforms, all of the above. Just enjoy wherever you pick it up. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening. And stay well.